Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We are talking with Sarah Prager of the Quest LGBTQ History app and Aud Treyer, an intern with Quest, a bisexual activist, an excellent writer, and a member of the Bicast team. Welcome.
Welcome. I'm John.
I'm Lynette.
I'm Aud.
And I'm Sarah.
Hi.
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 So Sarah. Hi. Sarah, tell us all about the Quest app.
Sure. Well, first, a small correction. It's pronounced Quist because it is a mashup of the words queer history. So it's like history. Quist is a free mobile app all about LGBTQ and HIV history. The way it works is that you get it for your Apple or Android device, and when you open it up each day, it shows you events that happened today in queer history. So if you were opening it on October 25th, you might see something that happened October 25th, 1901, and something else that happened October 25th, 1809, and they would be from all over the country, and you could tap on anyone and get more information about it, and then later on go and search around all the other hundreds of events that are in there that didn't happen today in history.
Fantastic.
I first learned about Quist by reading about Sarah's fighting censorship of LGBTQ content on the internet. Sarah, could you talk a little bit how restrictive filtering keeps children from finding needed resources and what Quist does to really, like, help bridge that?
Yeah, I think this is really one of our next fight for equal rights in the future. Some of you might have experienced this. I know, like, Robin Oakes has said she can't go to her own website on the Amtrak Wi-Fi, and that's happened to me, too, traveling on Amtrak, not to single them out, because this is part of a much broader issue where words like bisexual or gay or lesbian or queer or trans can all transgender, the word, can all be on kind of a blacklist of spam words because of the high amount of porn that those searches might return. So a student trying to access LGBTQ information on their school's computer, they might have a content block that doesn't let them go to any website that mentions LGBTQ content. And obviously that's a huge problem, not just for learning LGBTQ history, but for lots of reasons. So it actually happened to me when I submitted an update for the Quist app to the Apple App Store. I got a message that said, you're using the term bisexual in this, and your app may be rejected for this. And so I launched a change.org petition asking Apple to remove bisexual from its list of flagged terms. And within 24 hours, we had over 1,000 signatures, a bunch of press coverage, and Apple called me and said, this issue has been fixed. And it's actually the moment that got me involved in bisexual advocacy and activism, because Faith Cheltenham of Binet USA reached out to me and said, we've been dealing with this Google block where bisexual won't autocomplete like other terms, even while lesbian and transsexual, et cetera, will. And so then we launched another change.org petition about that, and I've been working with Faith on that, and we're still not quite done with it, even though I know that we're in the five-digit range of signatures there. We haven't been able to get a call with Google to talk to them about it. Yeah, we're over 14,000.
Wow.
So I did those petitions in Quist name because as a queer tech project, I think it's important to be involved in queer tech issues for all of us. And I've gotten to know the directors at the LGBT technology partnership here in DC and others that are working on these issues of bans on public Wi-Fi, which is just so important because for people who don't have their own computer or smartphone, they're using the library computer and places like that, and they might be simply blocked from ever accessing any LGBTQ content.
Well, you're kind of our hero because we have our podcast is through iTunes, so it's done amazing things for us. And working with the Google ban has really helped many people. I mean, I remember when I first decided I was bisexual and went looking for information, and I couldn't find anything, and I didn't know what even to look for. And that drop-down menu would have been very helpful. So we commend you for that.
We've really seen a change in access on at least as far as Google goes for being able to actually find our content and share it. I mean, our podcast comes up very high on the list, and it means that people are able to search and find us without knowing who we are. So.
Yeah,
right.
Great. It's a great victory.
Yeah, I've been really happy to see progress on it, and it's really, you know, the press that one has gotten too. It's opened up a dialogue in the press and in the LGBTQ communities, I think, about this next frontier of tech acceptance and making sure that especially those who don't have access to their own computers or those who don't know any LGBT people in person in their maybe isolated rural area or something, these online resources are most important for them, and these are exactly the people who it might not be reaching. So we have to keep moving forward. You know, after Google, there will still be more.
And that's very important. I think it's very important to be able to access it in the libraries, because there are a lot of students and people who don't have access who would need that information. So, yay, we're right behind you on that, okay?
Yay.
All right, Odd, you are an intern for Quest. What are you working on?
I am in charge of finding as much non-American LGBTQ history as I possibly can, and inputting that into the database, and also helping out with the historical research for various presentations and projects.
Awesome.
Yeah, and Odd's been doing an amazing job. I've had a few different... I've learned so much from Odd's research myself, and Quist is very lucky to have Odd's research added in, and that's really our... You know, Quist is global. We've been downloaded in over 100 countries, and our history comes from several dozen countries as well, but... there is much too much of a U.S. focus simply because that was what was most easily available to me. And sometimes sources are in other languages, and I'm not a trained historian, but Odd is really studying this and has done this kind of research and is bringing wonderful expertise to the team.
I heard that you had... you didn't have any bears. I imagine that you're finding bears now for history.
Oh, yeah, that was really easy. The second, you know, this one bear saw the app and was like, oh, I typed in the word bear and I didn't see anything. And I was like, oh, my God, you're right. Like, it, for some reason, it never came up or it never occurred to me. And so I found that there is a bear archives in San Francisco. I reached out to them and they gave me a few dates, and within 48 hours, there was bear content in Quist, and I actually just met the founder of the Bear Archives in San Francisco when I was there last week.
Cool. So let's talk about LGBT History Month, or Quistery Month. I love the meme campaign.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's been so successful. Quistery has, it's just amazing. I've been seeing the memes all over the place, and people really responded to them and then added in their own reasons, and it was just featured on the website of The Advocate a couple days ago, reasons why Quistery matters. So it's been really exciting. We've had 13,000 interactions with the campaign, with the hashtag.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, Aud, do you have anything you want to add about the month?
That's more of my counterpart social media side. I kind of just sit with the database. But I did get to write a really cool article for care2.com that reached probably the biggest audience that I've ever had for my writing, about my experiences as an undergraduate and being told by a history professor that I couldn't do a history of the bi movement, trans history, any of that, because until the 90s, there was no bi history and there wasn't any gay history pre-Stonewall, and there definitely wasn't any trans history until like 1995. And it was really kind of one of the most frustrating and strange moments I've ever had, because right on her door was the LGBTA safe space sticker. Mm. And I was like, do I have revoking powers? Can I just like be like, no, I'm just going to peel this off. You have to go back to class and re-earn this. But I ended up being really like, one of the number one ways to get me to do something is to tell me I can't do it or it doesn't exist. So then I have to go do it. So I ended up doing my official paper for the class on like factory workers in World War II, something I really, really did not care about. Not that those people weren't very important at the time. I was just really not caring. And I ended up then, when I was kind of like doing that half, half-assedly into that official paper?
Yes, feel free.
Okay, I totally half-assed that one. But meanwhile, I was at home doing two additional papers on bi and trans history. And actually, I got like a C on the official one, but I took my two other papers to my advisor and another professor, and they said, wow, these are A papers. What did you get in that class? And I'm like, C. And they're like, why did you get a C? And I told them, and they're like, what? That's not true. Why did you tell me sooner? And I was like, oh, I really should have thought that. But that was a really great article to write. And that experience, while it was really kind of crushing when it happened, is really one of the things that kind of shaped my path and helped in the end hook me up with Quist and Sarah, because I had all this experience of just like hate researching. I don't know, it's kind of like rage quitting, hate researching. I'm going to research this because I'm so angry. And that was really, really fun. And I've seen the memes all over Twitter and Tumblr and Facebook. Every time I sign in and I scroll a little bit, they just cut. It's like they laugh themselves. I'm like, oh, they're back. Oh, they're back. Yeah. Every single time. And it's just been a lot of fun. I had it was in September, but it was for a presentation for Sarah in, what was it, Columbia?
Yeah, which ended up being the conference was canceled 1 week before it happened.
Oh.
So I'm going to be presenting it in Mexico next year instead.
Okay, so someone will get to see my glorious underpants research.
No, and I've pitched it to other places too, and I am sure it'll be presented more than once. But
that was one of my favorite things I've ever gotten to research.
Yeah.
It was about like history and marketing, but it just became the underpants project halfway through.
Because underpants, soap and seltzer water and just homoerotic ads where it was like, are you curious about this product? And it's like, this guy walks away from his wife at the picnic and is like, yes, other man, I'm very curious about this product. And yeah.
And then there were my favorite were the Canon True Towel Tales. Those
yeah.
were just
those were fantastic.
I love them. That was one of the funnest things I ever got to research. Every 5 minutes, I was like, come here, you gotta see this, look at this one I found.
And I think, like, Odd's first version, I was like, I want even more photos of more ads, and that probably wasn't so much of a bad thing, because
no.
they were, it was so, like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, I tried finding the vintage ads on my own, but I just, like, didn't know where to go, and Odd was so helpful, but I really loved that content too, because it was just like, I mean, it's really fascinating how, well, like, it makes sense that that professor would have thought, like, queer people didn't exist until post-Stonewall or until the 90s, because, like, that's when we started being allowed to be shown in mainstream, not just advertising, but media, and we didn't enter a mainstream consciousness for so many people until so recently, and it's in part because of that, and nowhere really used LGBT couples in their advertising, which they do all the time in the last few years, but even just a few years ago, it was only done once it, you know, marriage equality passed the 50% mark of, like, public approval, and, like, once it became popular and acceptable, then we were allowed to be marketed to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's always been there, but it was always hidden.
Right.
You know, going through old muscle magazines and those kind of things that were not for gay men at all, but guess who bought 95% of these magazines? So we're going back to the 50s
and a way to get around the ban on homosexual content being sent through the mail was to have it be like, I need these pictures of men doing these exercises with, you know, only underwear on, because I need to know how to do this exercise, or I need to know, yeah, what that underwear looks like, or, you know, things like that, so that they were sometimes medical reasons, or just, yeah, like bodybuilding, physique magazine kind of stuff. And because otherwise you would be charged with the intent to commit sodomy for until the one Supreme Court case.
Right. The Comstock laws. And I mean, it extended to literature too. I mean, books were banned because of their content.
Right. Right.
Until really the late 60s, films were banned because of their content, or films were legally censored for their content.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that still happens, but you know, there's a rating system, and you can put an NC-17 movie out there, but you're never going to get in the theater. I'll also say to Odd, like, I recommend that the piece that Odd wrote for History Month. It was an amazing piece, and we're going to put a link on so that everybody can see it.
Yeah. Definitely. So we've been talking about this, but let's talk a little bit more. Why is it LGBTQ history is important, especially for our youth to learn about?
Wow. So many reasons. For me, the most important, or the most personal for me, is so that they know that they're a part of a larger community, and even when they don't know other queer people, that they can get to know these queer people of history and know that they're not the first ones to feel this way, that they're not alone. They're not alone. They're not the first. And
exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I think that beyond that, for non-LGBT people, it's important for them to know that before they started seeing us in mainstream culture and media, that this isn't a fad. Just because you're seeing marriage equality in the news all the time right now doesn't mean this came out of nowhere. We've been making major contributions to every field throughout society's history for all time. You know, Alan Turing comes to mind as a famous one. And, you know, this history isn't taught in schools, and so we need to teach it to each other. And while other communities' histories are sometimes able to be taught within families, where, like, you know, a Jewish family will pass on Jewish history, even if it's not taught as in depth in school, a lot of queer kids are born into straight cis families. So it's when we find our chosen families that we begin to pass these on through oral histories and online projects and books. And there's just so much out there. And yeah, I mean, those are just a couple reasons, but really I have dozens in front of me right now from the Quistry Matters campaign, and the ones that others have come up with are just really inspiring as well.
I've been reading some of those. Those are really great ones. Yeah.
So, like one Tumblr user said, Quistry matters because it really helps to know that behind me is an incredibly strong and proud history of trans people, and if they can do it, so can I.
Exactly. Yeah.
Great. Quist is a work in progress, and we've already talked. He's already talked a little bit about this. You know, early on when I downloaded it, and I think it was really some of the early days of it being out, I actually found a lot of good bisexual content, which made me smile, because that's the first thing I look for when I go to this kind of stuff, for some unknown reason. you also covered a little bit about the areas that LGBTQ history aren't covered as well yet. Could you talk a little bit about other things that you feel that are needed in the project that aren't, other than, you know, it being just a few nations and probably mostly Western nations that aren't there yet?
Yeah, Odd, do you want to, because you and I have discussed this part of it, what have you noticed is most missing, or what have we talked about that is missing?
Well, mostly the entire continent of Africa.
Yeah,
I just went looking there, and I went, oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on. Currently, it's all Africa. I think the last ones we added was all about Egypt. The most recent data we added was all about Egypt, ancient Egypt, modern Egypt, and I'm just focusing on that. We have a lot of bisexual history for the United States, and we need some more for everywhere else. So if anyone is listening and has some bi history that's non-American, you can submit that, and that would be great. Trans history is another one we're doing a lot of. And some things I find are really interesting. Like, I want to find a way to get the tale of Genji in, because the protagonist, Genji, is a bisexual man, and it's the world's oldest novel. But the problem is, it's hard to find a date to put into the database when something's that old.
Exactly. And that's one of the major obstacles and challenges that Quist has had content-wise is, you know, I'll find, like, oh, this existed in BC or the year 300 or something, but I need it to not only be this happened in July 300, but July 14th 300 for us to be, because of the way it works is this day in history, and so each one needs a specific date. And sometimes, and we don't do birthdays because those are just, you know, a baby is born. These are all supposed to be moments of history where something happened on that day that people would have known, like something more public. And so what the person does during their life is included and not their birthday. But finding the exact dates has made it, you know, for communities that don't have as many written records, or mm-hmm. their written records weren't allowed to be kept, it makes it really challenging, but we don't want to not tell those histories just because those histories have been silenced. We need to lift them up even more because of that. So those are some of the challenges. And beyond geographic, I would say identity-wise, Odd was saying, like, we want to add more trans content. It can be really tough to know if someone's identity would have been transgender when, you know, you have to make a lot of assumptions, whether they were bisexual or gay or lesbian, when not only did those terms not exist until relatively recently, but if they weren't going to self-identify that way, and if we don't have it written down somewhere that they self-identified that way, a lot of, you know, cis women would have dressed up as men for lots of reasons, to just, like, gain access to work and money and authority. And we can't always know if that was a woman trying to pass as a man for other reasons. Maybe they were butch lesbian, and maybe they were a trans man. And a lot of times we just put that stuff into Quist of, like, female-bodied person passing as man does this in history, and people can, without assigning them an identity. But it can be really hard to know. But whenever there's some kind of cross-gender thing happening, I think that's something queer, and regardless of that person's identity. So I think it belongs in Quist, whether they're trans or not.
Oh, good. I was going to kind of ask that question about pharaohs of Egypt, since you were talking about Egypt. And I know specifically one pharaoh was born female, and there's stories that there were others who were. And so how do you identify people in those days? And especially being king of a country, having to be male, even if you're not, are they actually transgender people, or are they cross-dressed in order to take their position of power?
I think those are really important to get in there, because it addresses that thing about patriarchy, and because a lot of female writers took pen names of men just so they could get their things published. So, you know, yeah, that's part of our thing.
Yeah, someone named J.K. Rowling used her initials because she didn't want to be outed as a woman writer. But she's done pretty well for herself. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that I still had to do that. The Quist app is free. It has some non-invasive advertising, which is really very mild and not a problem at all. But we can purchase it for ad-free, and by doing so, we do support our community and you guys. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was very important to me to make it free from the beginning. My plan is for it to always be free, but I work almost full-time on this for about 2 years, and there are expenses, the hosting of the database and website. I'd love for us to be able to do advertising. I'd love to be able to speak about queer history at schools that can't afford to pay my travel to get to them. There's all kinds of things that Quist needs funding for, and so you can donate directly. Quistapp.com has the link. You can also, and there are really cool prizes for that. There, a lot of organizations have donated books or other things that I'll send you as like a reward, depending on what level you donate at. And yeah, it's $4.99 to remove ads for life from the app, and that goes towards supporting Quist work as well. And you know, one of the best things that you can do is spread the word about Quist. The more downloads we have, the selling of those ads becomes easier, and that's just one of many reasons lower down on the list that it's important to spread the word about this free resource for people. And yeah, and if you know of a company that is interested in sponsoring, you can send them my way too. The email address is info@quistapp.com.
Thank you so much.
Great, great. So, as always, all the links will be provided on the website.
And is there anything else you guys would like to add today?
One other thing besides the Quistery Matters campaign that we're doing for LGBT History Month is I'm starting a new series about finding the LGBT history projects in your area. Once your interest is sparked by the app, getting out into the museums and libraries and archives to get even more excited about it. And so I interviewed and filmed directors giving me tours of their queer history projects when I was in San Francisco and Chicago last week. And those are up on the Quist Facebook and YouTube. And everywhere I go after this, I will be bringing Quist followers with me in that way. And the one other thing for October is that probably we're on track for maybe today or tomorrow, we'll be reaching the 20,000 download mark. And so I just want to put that out there because that was our goal for October. And it looks like we're going to make it. And I'm really excited about that.
Oh, congratulations.
Yay, yeah, fantastic. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. You also, I was just looking, I just took your little poll about doing the badges and
quizzes, yeah.
And quizzes. That sounds like a lot of fun. I like that kind of thing.
Yeah, so that's something that will only happen if funding comes through with it. Grant or a corporation or a generous donor. Those would be really big things to add in, but my dreams for Quist are really big, and so I'm hoping that whichever one of those wins the poll will get in, and eventually both of those features, and maybe more beyond that.
Yay, fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. You know, extending it, because I think, like, what's really important for especially younger people is to know a lot of history that is not just about their letter of the umbrella, so that they can understand all of our struggles. And
right.
And it's, you know, it's really, and it's, and I think adults too. I think I know so many people in the LGBT community that just don't really have an understanding or really think that it's important to know a lot of our own history. And if you don't know it, first of all, you're forced to repeat it. And second of all, you're reinventing the wheel. And, you know, we've mm-hmm. already got wheels.
Yeah, because there's wheels we can look back on and fall on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, make a life a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps, you know, everyone understand that the other group struggles too. And it's, we are really all the letters of the alphabet there.
Mm-hmm.
It does help that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Odd, did you have something you want to say?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. You're always good.
Anyone can submit historical events to Quist. There's a form on the website where you just fill in, like, what it is, its date, where it happened, and where you found it. And that's one of the great ways that we've been getting submissions of more events to add in. And there is a lot missing. There will always be more to add. And that's another way people can help Quist, is by doing research yourself and seeing your name in the Quist credits if you wish to be named.
Oh, awesome.
Hey, that's a good... Thanks. That was a missing part of this interview that we needed.
Yeah, thank you. Now I'm going to be off on to Google looking around.
Yeah, good.
I just want to remind everybody, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are part of our LGBTQ history. Thank you so much. Bye.
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 That went really well, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity, and happy
GLBT History Month, and I just watched the Grey's Anatomy episode with Spike. It was, like, amazing. Calliope, like, yeah. Anyway.
I know. I haven't watched the whole episode, but I saw the outtake, and I was like, yeah, we're badass.
Is that still on?
Yeah.
John, they just had this great episode.
Is the bisexual character still on it?
Yeah, and she just, like, officially said that she was bi, finally.
She said bisexual.
Oh, we watched it, like, years ago, and it was clear she was bisexual then.
No, it's clear. I mean, she's dated men and women. She's married a man and married a woman. But,
oh, really?
No,
but
she actually says that. She goes, yeah, bisexual. It's a real thing. We are real.
Yeah.
That is what the B is in LGBT. It doesn't stand for badass. Well, yeah, it does, but...
Yeah, exactly. It was awesome.
It was really awesome.
I actually
tweeted Grey's Anatomy and said, yes, thank you. So the views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.
Nip it back.